Good morning, church. It's so good to see so many beautiful faces, lovely faces. Even David is here. I'm so glad to see him. If y'all don't mind standing and singing to our God. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name. There is no other name, no name by which we're saved. There is no other name but Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, free tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name. Every knee shall bow at his name. Every knee shall bow at his name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to God in prayer. But before then, I need to tell you all something about Vacation Bible School that's upcoming. However, I don't know much. And I know someone who's the most knowledgeable in the room, and that's Sheila. And I'd like her to come tell us about Vacation Bible School, if you may. All right.
Okay. Vacation Bible School is going to be in collaboration program with Kanawha Valley Church. It's on Smith Road up in South Hills. It's going to be the 9th through the 12th from 5:30 to 8 in the evening. We are providing dinner for everyone at 5:30. So anyone that wants to come and join us, be sure to be there at 5:30 so we can have dinner with everyone that's participating. And then the kids will go into the rotation for their classes. As I said, we're providing dinner. So anybody that wants to help out, you can contact Jan, Renee, me, or Deneen, and we'll let you know what we need. We will be decorating this Saturday from 3 to 6 up at the church. And if you'd like to come and help with that, that'd be great also.
I knew none of that, so thank you, Sheila. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're here. We're here as one family, Lord. We're here as one breath, trying to be with your Spirit, Lord. We are thankful for your Spirit that has entered this place. Thankful for the heartbeats that are in this room, Lord. We are thankful for each and every person that is here. They're here for a reason. They're here to fellowship with each other and to praise your name, Lord. Please help the words that are spoken today be uplifting to each other, but mostly glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to take a few minutes now to meet and greet because there are some faces that we don't know. So let's say hello. I hope everyone had a chance to meet and greet. We're going to stay seated for these next two songs. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasures untold. Hold, sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Song before communion. This was a special request from Greg before the communion. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms. Praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought. And now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms. Praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
Good morning. For those of you who were here last week and got to see my brother Eddie do communion, I'm Greg, and the way you tell the difference is Eddie got the brains, I got the bulk. So just keep that in mind. If anyone's here and you didn't get the emblems of the sacrament, you raise your hand, somebody will bring it to you. And while they're doing that, I'll give you the rest of you a minute to catch your breath for me calling this the emblems of the sacrament. I remember the first time that happened to me in a Church of Christ. That was a new member who had been raised in a Protestant tradition, and that seemed like nothing to him. And I was expecting the rafters to open and the bolt of lightning to come down and hit him for calling something that wasn't scriptural. So learned a little bit about that since then. I think what I'm going to talk about today a little bit is the conditions we put on the table. In 1 Corinthians 11:29, it says, "For he who eateth or drinketh this unworthily eateth or drinketh everlasting damnation." I think those words are strong, but I also think throughout the last 2,000 years, we've seen a lot of different religions, including our own, put conditions on the table that I'm not sure were really accurate. What prompted me to think about this? About a month ago, Eddie and Brary and I were at dinner, and we were talking about Job. And the story of Job is kind of hard to understand sometimes. It doesn't really coincide with the God of love that we've come to know and learn through Jesus Christ. I've kind of logicked that one out of my mind, but the one that really bothers me is Judas Iscariot. I've been struggling with that for a while. I've been thinking about it, and I'll share some of those thoughts with you. And if I make you uncomfortable, I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to do that. Just say that Greg let you into his mind a little bit, and he's a little bit crazy. So, amen. So hopefully these thoughts will maybe help you focus on the cross and what this communion means. Judas Iscariot is a puzzle to a lot of people. And if you look, there have been countless books and commentaries written about him. Why did he do what he did? Did he have a choice? And when we read verses like Jesus or Satan entered him, Satan prompted him. Jesus even said it would have been better for this man not to have been born. It kind of makes me wonder, you know, I get that he may have been used at that moment, but why did he have such a tragic ending? The first thought I had was, maybe the lesson to us is that it can be a tragic ending for any of us. It certainly was for Judas. But I wonder, you know, why he didn't go back. Why, when he threw that silver and screamed, "I have sinned," why did he, as the commentaries will say, he was remorseful, but he wasn't repentant. And I just don't understand why. This man walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, touched the hem of his garment, prayed with him, hugged him, no doubt. And yet, he didn't repent. So I look at the activity that happened around the time of the death of Christ. And then one of the accounts in John chapter 12 that talks about Mary washed his feet. And Judas' response to that was, "That was very expensive perfume. Think of the people, the poor, that we could have fed with that." And it goes on to say that Judas was a thief. He was a treasurer, and he'd been skimming money off the treasury. I think that sometimes we look at that and think that everybody in that picture involved knew that, but that was written 70 years after Judas. I don't think it's fair to think that the other disciples knew that at that time. The reality of that moment was not that he was a thief. They thought he was just one of the followers like they were. But then I look at Jesus and what he did. When he said that, when Judas said that, I wonder why Jesus didn't say, "Stop. Just stop, Judas. Satan has entered you. He's prompting your actions. It would have been better for you not to have been born. Just go and do what you're going to do and do it quickly." And then turned his back on him. Certainly the anger he had in the temple would have been justified at that moment. But that's not what he did. He washed Judas's feet. And then in all four accounts of the gospel, he served him communion. If there ever was a moment the conditions should have been put on that table, that could have been the moment. And that's not the example we have. He served Judas communion. So I want to think a little bit today about how we approach this table and what we think. We certainly know that we're supposed to be, you know, reviewing ourselves and our lives and what we do. And I don't think there's anybody in here who does not understand that unconditional love that makes it possible for us to gather at this table, take this bread and drink this cup without condemning ourselves to eternal damnation. I always think of my Judas moments when it comes to the table. And I don't want to bore you or keep you here till tomorrow, which is probably what it would take to share with you my sinful nature. But I will say the one that really bothers me is, and thanks a lot, James, for writing this one, I know the good that I should do, but I don't do it, and that's a sin. So as we take this bread, let's think about the conditions we put on this table, not so much for us, but maybe for some other people. And let's think about that as we have this prayer. Father, we come to you today understanding your love is unconditional. And every one of us, and it's for those that are not yet a part of your body. We pray that as we take this bread, we focus on what we can do to have the Spirit move within us and help us resolve our Judas moments. And we pray for how we could be an example for others so that when they're going through their Judas moments, their life doesn't end in tragedy but ends up in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the commentaries I read about this said that Judas was, as I said, remorseful, but he wasn't repentant. And why didn't he repent? And they made the comment that Judas probably knew that he could go back to Jesus, because after all, Jesus served him communion. Jesus washed his feet. But at that moment, Jesus was dead. Probably, and quite possibly, Judas was afraid of what the other 11 disciples would do. And he was afraid of what the other followers of Christ would do. And I think that logic flows, but I don't think it's the right logic. I think that Judas certainly could have had those thoughts and probably did, but I don't think it's fair to put the onus on Judas's decision based on what the disciples would have done. And I think we know what the disciples would have done. I mean, on the surface, who would take him back? Would anybody take him back? I can see how he thought that. Peter probably thought that too. After all, he had denied Christ 3 times before the cock crowed. Thomas probably doubted it too. Thomas the doubter. Thomas doubted all the way up until Christ was with them in a room, and he still had to put his fingers in the scars to see that that was Jesus. But they all accepted each other back immediately after. And they were all together when they heard the first gospel message that Jesus had risen. So I don't think it's fair to put the onus on the other disciples. And I think we have that moment to continue what Jesus started, what the disciples carried through, and that is to make this table open for anyone and everyone and pray that the Spirit enters them and helps them avoid their Judas moment. Would you pray with me, please? Again, Father, we come to you so thankful that you love us so much, that you gave your Son to die on the cross. And we pray, Father, that we all come to this table understanding that this love was given to us freely and it's ours to accept or reject. And we pray, Father, that you help us help each other and help those in our community to accept this and understand that this is transformational. It is a moment where our hearts open to you and we decide to live our lives throughout you and through you and as an example for others from now on. And we pray that we all avoid those Judas moments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Apart from our communion service, we also want to remind you that we do take a collection like other churches do. We don't do it formally by passing a plate, but there's a plate in the back if you can make an offering there. If you'd like to see one of the deacons or elders or go online, you can do that. But the work of this church needs money to continue, and we're told to be happy givers, and we're told to lay by in stores. We've been prospered, so we have the opportunity to do that. Let's pray for the offering. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you've given and sacrificed for us. We pray, Father, that we recognize that the blessings of this world are just temporary, but they are needed to make this work continue, and we ask that we each of us give as we've been allowed and been blessed, and we pray that this work always continues to bring others close to you, and that the spirit of what you've done for us and the spirit is in all of us and we can share that spirit of love and unconditional love with everyone in this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okie dokie, kids. It's that time. Age 2 to 2nd grade, you have your own kids' worship. Any second now. There's the noise. Okay. Today, Steve is not with us. We do have a video. It's only going to be a 10-minute quick video. But I think I looked at a lot of videos, and this was one that really hit me hard. So I hope it blesses y'all very much. But first, let's stand and sing God is So Good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. Please be seated. So Rick actually is going to be preaching. This is my preacher from whenever I was a child. And so obviously I'm a little impartial to him. What he's going to be speaking about is how the power of the Spirit, you need to choose to let it affect you. And so let's listen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is is well. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Please stay standing.
Before Tom comes up and closes with prayer, I want to read a statement from the elders on behalf of the elders of this congregation. Many in the church know Steve and Leslie Keeney plan to be with us through June of 2025, after which their intention was to return to Indianapolis to be closer with family. Steve and Leslie have already sold their home in Kanawha City, got an apartment in South Charleston, and purchased a new home in Indianapolis. They have not been here recently as they moved much of their belongings to Indiana. Steve and Leslie have had several discussions with the elders over the past few months regarding private family issues that they're working through. After much prayer and dialogue, the elders have decided to allow Steve to take a leave of absence from Kanawha City for the foreseeable future. We love and support Steve and Leslie. They are a part of our church family, and we will be praying that God blesses them and helps them through this difficult time. We recognize the importance of our Sunday morning worship service and appreciate Steve's role in bringing many powerful lessons during his time here. The elders are working on a short-term and a long-term plan so we may continue to grow closer to God and to each other. We ask that you pray for us, that God helps us make wise decisions as we plan for the future of our congregation. We also ask for your love and patience over the coming weeks. Tom.
Thankful to see everyone out today. We have a family from Alabama visiting with us and a couple from Kentucky visiting with us. So if you haven't got to see them, make them welcome. We thank you for dropping in and visiting with us. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before your throne of grace this day, we come thanking you, Lord, for another day of life. We'd ask, Lord, that you'd remember the visitors here, that you'd bless them with safe travel as they go about. And Lord, we'd ask, please be with Steve and Leslie. Help each of us to be a help to them and to pray. Please spend time in prayer, remembering each of them. We pray, God, that you would fill each of us with your spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us in the decisions that we make, that they be in accordance with your will. Help us to do everything in love. And ask, Lord, now that you'd go with us as we depart this place. Watch over and protect us and bring us back again, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen.